Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 13. It may also help to locate this little piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Trust God to Supply All of Your Needs. That will be the goal. That's what our focus will be. I've discovered over the years that the Bible is very similar to a treasure chest. And one of my favorite sections of this treasure vault is to be found in Philippians chapter 4. On uncountable number of occasions, I've come to Philippians 4, and there in Philippians 4, the Lord has re-architected my perspective. He has dialed me into His provision for my life. And on many occasions, I've done biblical counseling with people, and somebody's at rock bottom. They're out of energy. They're out of gas. They're worn out. They're exhausted. And do you know where I take them? Philippians 4. Philippians 4 is a great place to get refocused on God's perspective and provision. So imagine we're just having a giant counseling session this morning, and I'm going to take you over to one of the richest resources in all of God's Word, and that's this passage of the Scripture. We'll start in verse 13 in a moment, but let me make a point with a bit of a humorous story. I heard about an 85-year-old farmer named Joe. Joe loved to fish, and so he'd gone out to his farm pond, and he was fishing one day when from amidst the lily pads, this frog emerged and jumped on the land right beside him. And to his utter amazement, that frog spoke. The frog said, I am a beautiful princess, and if you will just kiss me, I will become your bride. Well, Joe was astonished. He reached down, he picked up the frog, and he put the frog in the front pocket of his overalls. The frog said, don't you understand? If you kiss me, I will become your bride. Joe said, well, to tell the truth, at age 85, I don't need a bride, but I sure do need a talking frog. So that brings me to this question. Right now, what do you need? What do you need? Anybody here need to exchange your weakness for God's strength? God can supply it. Anybody here need to exchange your confusion for God's wisdom? The Bible says God can supply it. Anybody here need to exchange your bitterness for forgiveness? Well, God can supply it. Anybody here need to exchange your ashes for God's beauty? God can supply it. So what we'll do in just a moment is look at Philippians 4, beginning in verse 13, and read these treasured truths in such a way that you're applying them to your life to be transformed into the image of Christ. Come now with me. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourself also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And the cap is in verse 20. Don't miss it. Now to our God and Father, be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to come to full spiritual attention, because these dazzling diamonds of scriptural treasures can change our lives. Father, I pray that in the next few moments we will apply these great truths to who we are and what we're doing, to our relationships, our attitudes, our actions, so that we can be our maximum for you. Father, get me out of the way and allow your Spirit to take control of these moments, depositing your transforming truths into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, we've been focusing on our hero, Paul. And I believe that Paul's motto was all is well. No matter what came his way, in faith, trusting God as his supply, he could say, all is well. Somebody would come up to Paul and say, well, Paul, you have been beaten. You have been betrayed. You have been maligned. What does that do to you? You just shrug it off and say, all is well. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Somebody would come up to Paul and say, but Paul, here you are in a terrible Roman prison cell. Paul would say, all is well. I'm sharing the gospel with every guard I come into contact with, and the gospel is spreading throughout the Praetorian Guard. All is well. Somebody might come up to Paul and say, Paul, you're headed for Rome. And there in Rome, you will be brutally executed for the cause of Christ. Can't you hear, if you listen carefully, Paul say, all is well. All is well. I'm going to be faithful to the finish. I'll share the gospel. I'll go home to heaven, and I will receive my eternal reward. All is well. Now, where did Paul get that kind of positive perspective on his life and his suffering? Well, I would suggest to you that it comes from the heart of his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to articulate it right here for us. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. These same resources from the Lord are available to you right here and right now. Well, let's come to the first one. Make this first note. God's resources are available to you. And the first one is God gives you his power. That's what we see here in verse 13. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, on the surface, that kind of sounds a little bit bold, maybe slightly arrogant. No, Paul is not picturing here self-confidence. He is picturing Christ's confidence. Paul makes it crystal clear, for instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he's nothing. He even compares himself to a clay pot. Do you know what a clay pot is? It's just a dirt vessel. That's all we are. But he goes on to say, well, I'm just a clay pot. I have inside of me the treasure of Jesus Christ. So the focus was never on Paul. The focus was always on Jesus. That was his proclamation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my goodness, did the Lord strengthen Paul or what? I mean, think about some of these superhero kind of activities he engaged in. Go with me again to Acts chapter 14, and here is Paul at Lystra. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus. The crowd is coming to Christ. Some Jewish leaders show up. They're jealous, and they began to malign Paul, and they whip up a furious crowd, and they stone him. Matter of fact, they think that he is dead. And yet, after the crowd leaves and his disciples gather around him, I guess they're getting ready to haul his carcass off, Paul just starts to twitch. And then I guess he sits up and he wipes the blood from his brow and the dust, and he gets up and he probably straightens himself out and he says, let me go back in there and finish my sermon. I wasn't through. I mean, almost superhuman. He goes in Acts 16 to Philippi, and there he is arrested. He is beaten. He is put in the dungeon. He is put in manacles. And how does he respond to that? Poor, poor, pitiful me? No, he's praising God at midnight, and that's when the earthquake hits. The jail cells open up. The manacles fall off. The Philippian jailer, he gets saved with his whole family. They have a 2 a.m. baptism, and that church is birthed. What about Paul being in that ship? A horrible storm arises. It looks like all is lost, but this angel from God says, all 276, very specific in the count, all 276 of you will be saved. if you'll follow Paul's orders. Paul tells them what to do. The ship is lost on debris. They all come ashore to Malta. I mean, another superheroic act. But the story doesn't end there. Do you remember? They're going to dry their clothes, so they're out gathering up sticks to build a big bonfire. And what happens to Paul? As he picks up a stick, this deadly, poisonous snake bites down on Paul's forearm. Ooh, it hurts to think about it. And what does Paul do? He just goes over to the fire and shakes it off and burns it up. Go, Paul. And so here, that snake gets burned up. He writhes in the fire. Everybody thinks that Paul is going to swell up and die. And when nothing happens to him, a revival sweeps the island of Malta. Just a standard day in the life of Paul. Now, where does he get that kind of power? Well, friend, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead was surging through Paul. And that same power is available to you and to me. That's that resurrection power. You see, let me illustrate it like this. I was out in the yard doing a little yard work yesterday. And this is a little green cotton work glove. Now, wouldn't it be cool if I could just say to that glove, hey, would you rake up the pine straw and the leaves? I'm going to watch football. Okay? Well, would you mind getting the equipment out and cutting some of the shrubs? I got some other things I need to do. That's not how it works, is it? You see, this little glove is kind of like that dirt pot. It's not much. But when you put a filling in it, when you fill it up with a hand, then you know what you can do? You can lift a load. You can clean a road. You can pull a weed. You can plant a seed. This glove can get some stuff done if it's filled up. And that's a picture of what God wants to do in our lives. That was Paul's power. You see, Paul said, I'm nothing, but Jesus is everything. He said over and over again, as a matter of fact, 140 times, he said, here's the secret. It's Christ in me. Didn't Jesus say that in John 15? I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to produce much fruit. But apart from me, what are you? You're nothing. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the key. That's the key to be set free from addictions. That's the key to having the power to overcome every obstacle and enemy that you would face. It is Christ in you, providing that resurrection power. Well, I would put it like this. The Lord Jesus gives us power to live and to forgive. Think about this. Just activate your imagination for a second. Think how beat up Paul was. I mean, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was put in jail. I mean, time and time again, he was physically torn to pieces. Now, they didn't have Advil back then. No Tylenol, no Motrin, no Aleve. So when Paul woke up in the morning, how stiff do you think this fellow was after what he had suffered? Did he have a chiropractor that worked on him in the afternoon? Did he have a massage therapist? I bet he wanted one. But imagine the stiffness in his joints, the arthritis that had invaded those injuries. And yet, what was Paul's theme song? I press on. I'm not going to give in to this pain. I am going to keep moving forward. I am going to press on. What kind of grind is your daily life right now? Maybe you wake up every day and instead of saying, good morning, Lord, you say, good Lord, it's morning. I mean, I got to do this all over again. The same dirty dishes, the same crazy kids, the same difficult boss. Maybe life to you is a grind, and that's why this is so important. I can do all things through who? Through Christ, who strengthens me. And what does Christ give you the power to do? Well, frankly, if you will press on with his power, you can make that marriage move from sour to sweet. You can make that unruly, off-course kid move from sour to sweet. You can make your obstacles, your adversaries, your enemies, as you press on in God's power, move from sour to sweet. You see, he gives you the power to live life with victory. But not only does he give you the power to live, he gives you the power to forgive. Think about all the people who had done Paul wrong. And yet, he did not live with bitterness and hurt and hatred. I was recently talking to a young man, and he was fighting an addiction with alcohol and drugs. And do you know what he traced it back to? He traced it back to his dad. He said, my dad was a really rotten father. He was a bad dad. He was addicted to alcohol and drugs, so I just am rebelling against him. That seems so silly to me, to rebel against your father by destroying yourself. Does that make any sense? You see, this young man was really a prisoner of hurt and hate. He couldn't forgive his dad. He couldn't acknowledge that his dad was just a clay vessel and had made mistakes. And instead of letting that go, he allowed that to become a corrosion to his own soul and spirit. I would imagine some people have hurt you. Maybe somebody really let you down. Maybe somebody betrayed you. Maybe you're going through this really difficult divorce. Maybe you're in some legal problems because somebody has gypped you. And it's hard not to be a hostage to hate, a prisoner of your past. How do you summon the power to forgive? Could I tell you the story of Harold and Helen Hancock? Oh, you know Harold and Helen Hancock, some of our heroes. Maybe you didn't remember that it was November 21st of 2000 that their only daughter, Linda Taylor, was killed in a car wreck on I-65. She'd come to a stop in her little car with the three-year-old twins in the back. She was 8 months pregnant. She was just sitting there because everybody else was stopped, and the driver of an 18-wheeler named Billy Turnbow had been driving for 20 hours. He was fatigued, and the brakes didn't work right in his car, and he slams into the back of her Chevy Cavalier. Linda dies on the spot. The three-year-old twins are spared. It was mighty deep water. There was a trial, and Billy was sentenced at the trial to spend 6 years in prison. But here is what Harold and Helen Hancock asked of the judge. This made national news, actually. Helen said, "Linda's children have lost their mother. We don't want Billy Turnbow's children to lose their father." Helen went on to say, straight to Billy Turnbow, "You go and take care of your family now. You've got to take care of your girls." And then Harold made this statement, and it was the closing statement in the article. Harold said, "We are a family whose faith is important to us. We have a deep and abiding faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We had to forgive Mr. Turnbow just as Jesus Christ has forgiven us." What empowers your forgiveness? What frees you from being a hostage of hurt and hate? You see, it's the power of the Lord Jesus. He gives you that capacity to do what is not done naturally, but supernaturally, and that is to cancel the debt that somebody else owes you. Well, let's move from power to people. God gives you also his people. We learn that in verse 14. Paul says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction." Now, he's speaking to the Philippian church, and the whole point of the book is Paul is saying thank you for the wonderful gift that they've given him financially. This is essentially a thank you note. This man named Epaphroditus has traveled 700 miles one way on foot to take a gift from the church to supply and support Paul's work as he ministers in Rome. And so Paul is saying thank you. And essentially what we have here is on display the beauty of the body of Christ, the beauty of the body of Christ. Now, I would just urge you to understand one of the greatest truths that I've encountered. We need Jesus, and what's the rest? We need Jesus and we need each other. That's it, friends. Now, we're living in a day where people are in artificial cocoons. They think because on Facebook they've got a bunch of friends, they've got a bunch of friends. There's a disreality to that. You get a bunch of likes, or people are following you on Instagram, and that gives you this illusion. Really, it's a delusion that you've got a whole bunch of people that'll come to your rescue when times are tough. My friends, can I tell you the truth? We're living in a culture that's devaluing the body of Christ, and that is an enormous mistake. So I want to just appeal to you as your friend, your pastor, a life coach, your brother in Christ. You need Jesus, and you deeply need the body of Christ. So prioritize the body of Christ as your top importance. Because friends, one day, someday, you'll realize that this is all that matters, your walk with Jesus and what you can do for the kingdom of God. So please mark that down. That's what Paul is telling us here. Nature tells us that. I mean, even ants live in colonies. Animals travel in herds. Geese fly in flocks. That's one of my favorite illustrations. You know, a geese, when they do their migration from the north to the south, they fly in a V. And that's God's design. That V allows you to fly in a formation that only takes 40% of the effort as opposed to flying by yourself. And when those geese are flying along, you know, they rotate the lead because the lead has to break the air. And it's believed that their honking is encouragement to the leader. Way to go, George. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Gracie. You know, can't you just hear those geese hollering encouragement at each other? And if a goose gets sick and goes down, they don't go down by themselves. Two other geese will go down, and they will stay with that wounded or sick geese until it dies or it can return to the flight and the path home, and they'll be a trio. You see, that's how God has designed this world. We are not designed to do it alone or to be by ourselves. In the creation story, everything was good except Adam being alone, and that was not good. So please understand how important is the body of Christ. When I was a teenager and I really fell in love with Jesus, I understood that Jesus was the head and we were the body. That was good. But then what really sparked my heart was Jesus said his church is the bride. Now, I like that analogy because I got the best bride. I love my bride, that Mary Ruth. Let me tell you the truth. If you do something for the bride, you do something for the groom. You see, imagine this. Imagine that you were traveling on I-85 and you saw a gray Toyota Sienna van over on the side with a flat tire. And there stood Mary Ruth just looking at that flat tire. Not Mary Ruth, she'd already have it changed, actually. But anyway, for the sake of the analogy. So she's standing there. She's looking at that flat tire. And if you pulled over and you helped my Mary Ruth, you know what you did? Oh, you blessed the groom. You blessed me. Now, don't forget this. Whatever you do for the body of Christ, you're blessing Jesus the groom. But if you neglect the body, if you disrespect the body, do you know what you're doing? You're neglecting and disrespecting the groom. So hold that deep in your heart and understand that God provides us with his people to help each other. I got this prayer request that just touched me so deeply. This is a young lady who joined our church, and she spent 16 days in the hospital. And she said, through the 16 days I was in the hospital, there was not one day that someone did not call or visit from our church. This church is amazing. It is a special place that reflects God's love to me. Oh, my friend, life is tough. It'll grind you down. And if you're trying to fly solo, you're going to get hurt. That's why it's so important that you're part of the body of Christ. And lastly, God's provision, number three. God's provision. Now, let me tell you what God's provision is. In verse 19, it's a proclamation, and my God shall supply all of your needs, not part of your needs, but all of your needs, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The word provision is a compound word, pro meaning before, vision to see. So God can see before you and know your need before you know it. That's what provision is. And look how all-encompassing it is. Look on your worksheet at Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? In other words, if the Lord gives us salvation through Jesus and his sacrifice, won't he give you everything else that you need? Our Heavenly Father can be trusted. I told you the story about my dad killing that rattlesnake. And I just always felt so secure with my dad. When we were kids, we traveled a lot. My dad got this old pickup truck, and we put a camper on it, and we had some great adventures as the Wolfgang traveled west. One time we went to California, and we probably looked like the Clampets or something. We had an old green pickup truck, a really unfancy Montgomery Ward's camper on the back, and my dad didn't have any GPS, not even a good map. We were trying to find Disney and got all sidetracked, and it got late, and so we decided to spend the night in a parking lot in Riverside, California. Well, it got to be dark, and suddenly we heard on the back of the little camper a knock. Dad got up, he opened the door. It was two policemen. And they said, sir, we noticed you're from out of town, you're from Texas. This is a very rough neighborhood. This is not a good place to spend the night. I would move. My dad reached down and he pulled out a pump shotgun and he said, I think we'll be okay. He said, yes, sir, we'll see you later. I mean, like, this is in the 60s, so it wasn't a problem. But I'm telling you, I felt totally secure and protected in my dad's company. You see, God will provide your needs. He'll be your protector. When my dad would have me go across the street from our store and pick up some eggs and milk and some sugar and whatever my mama wanted, you know what he would do? He never sent me out and said, I hope you can figure out how to pay for it. Maybe you have to steal it. I don't know. You know what he would generally do? If it was something cost $5, he'd give me a 20. Sometimes he'd give me a 50. He just wanted me to know that I was going to be covered. I wouldn't have any problem getting what I needed. Matter of fact, it'd be okay if I got a little extra. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. He's a protector. He's a provider. He'll take care of all your needs. How? According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. A last amazing, radical illustration. Because provision is God sees before us. It was August 2010. Our kids were going to do an end of the summer lake event. Stuart Davidson was driving a van with 14 kids in it. And right at Shorter, it flipped three times. And two of the boys landed on the pavement of Interstate 85 southbound. Here's what's astonishing to the glory and praise of God. 3 minutes earlier, an 18-wheeler jackknifed. No one was hurt, and brought all that traffic to a complete and total stop. So the two boys that were out in the roadway were not touched. That's God's provision. His eye saw, his hand saved. And my friend, I want you to understand that our God is able to do that. He will take care of his children. And why does he do it? He's a good father. You can count on him. But fill in this last blank. Why does God provide? For his glory. That's what verse 20 says. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In John chapter 11, Jesus is summoned to go help Lazarus. Mary and Martha say, our brother is dying. And Jesus makes the most far-reaching statement in verse 4. He says, this is a sickness, not unto death, but to the glory of God. You see, Mary and Martha, they just wanted a healing. But Jesus wanted to provide them a resurrection, his cornerstone miracle. You see, a healing, friend, is temporary, but God's glory is eternal. So that's what we do. We live for God's glory. We receive his power, his people, his provision to do his work for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you so much for the way you provide our needs now.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.